Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, he is our Indians beat reporter. He is James Rapine, and this spring training report is brought to us by Kubota Golf Tech and WOW Internet. Hello, James.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, man.
We're sitting here basking in the glow of trade talk with the San Diego Padres. And if it's not really there, we're making it up. Are the Indians really in a position to trade one of these guys? First of all, let's talk about that. Are they in a position, do they have enough depth where they could trade Corey Kluber or Trevor Bauer, slide in Tristan McKenzie, is he ready? Slide in Cody Anderson, is he good to go? Are they ready? Do they have the depth?
I think they do have the depth. If they were to trade a Corey Kluber, would they still have a really good starting rotation? Yes. Or if they move on from Trevor Bauer, is their starting rotation still one of the best in the major leagues? Yes. Is it the best? No. And I think it's the best one right now. So I do think they have the depth. I think that they would be able to do it. Maybe it's as simple, and I heard you guys talking before the break, is Salazar coming back and then considering making a move at the deadline, and then there you go. You got your fifth starter. Maybe the fifth starter comes back in a deal. Who knows exactly what the case may be. Here's the thing that's going to be hard, and I think a lot of people wonder, oh, well, they could just trade Corey Kluber at the deadline, or they could just trade Trevor Bauer at the deadline, but who's going to be dealing for those guys? Contenders, teams that want to win now. What are the Indians hoping to do if they deal one of those guys? Get outfielders, relievers that can help you win now, and that is going to be, it's going to be a tough matchup. It's going to be tough to find an organization that can give up pieces that help the Indians not only in the future but also in 2019, that also expects to win in 2019 when they trade for Trevor Bauer or Corey Kluber. So it'll be interesting to see if they can find a match. But it's certainly noteworthy that they're taking calls and listening to offers for both guys.
I do, and I asked this to Jeff, and I'll ask this to you too. If you trade Kluber, does it mean one thing? If you trade Bauer, does it mean another? Saying, hey, if we trade Kluber, does it mean we're kind of giving up on the season and that we really don't have any hope in the postseason? But is that different if you trade Bauer, knowing what his contract situation will be moving forward?
I don't think so, because obviously, and you'll probably end up paying Bauer more next year, but he has one more year of control. And while we assume, with the way Bauer looks at things, that with the one-year deals, we assume he's out the door. If you don't have Kluber on the books and you get younger in the outfield or you get some money off the books, then who knows? Maybe they keep Bauer for another year or two. So I don't think that. I think it keeps them in the mix. I will say it's hard to give up a Cy Young Award winner in Corey Kluber or Trevor Bauer. And again, find a matchup, find a team that's willing to give you pieces that can help you win in 2019. So on the surface, I think giving up either player, even though it could potentially address needs in the bullpen, potentially address needs in the outfield, or if it's as simple as just getting prospects in the minor league that you really like, it's hard to sell that to fans. Let's say they get off to a hot start, and right before the trade deadline, they trade one of these guys. Are fans buying in that they're going to make an October run, even if it's a smart move? I'm not sure they will, because on the surface, it looks like it's a win-later move, not a win-now move.
So, James, what would you want? And James Rapine joining us, our Indians beat reporter. If you're the Indians, are you moving one of these guys just for prospects? I'm not doing that. I've got to get an everyday outfielder, maybe two everyday outfielders, and maybe two top-notch pitching prospects.
Yeah, I'm asking for the world for either guy. And I think, I don't know this for sure, but it feels like they are too. Otherwise, why would either one be here? Right? They would have dealt one of them at some point this offseason. They're certainly opening to listening. There are teams that are definitely interested in Corey Kluber. There are teams that are definitely interested in Trevor Bauer. And the fact that both guys are here, to me, is a sign that that asking price is extremely high. Does that change depending on how the season goes? Maybe. But I think the Indians, and it feels like the Indians are doing things right. They got the salary to where they wanted to in 2019 without touching their starting rotation. So from that aspect, you can't say they're giving away one of their best pitchers for nothing just to cut salary. They did give away Yan Gomes. They did do some things like that to get salary off the books. But to me, unless you give them an offer, I sound like the Giants now, David Gettleman. Unless you give them an offer they can't refuse for one of these guys, they're going to keep them.
Oscar Mercado, when will we see him again?
Oh, that's interesting. That almost depends on how Greg Allen, how Carlos Gonzalez looks, how some of these guys look. I think we're going to see him this year at some point. Certainly had a bright spring for you to bring him up to me, and it become kind of a big deal and plenty of chatter here in Cleveland about him. But it's promising, and it is a reminder that these guys and these young players can emerge pretty quickly. So it'll be interesting to see when he comes up, but I do think he has a shot to come up and contribute at some point this season.
Do you think that move was made strictly for control, keeping him for another year of control, or do you think he's just not quite ready?
Maybe a mixture of both, but control has got to be number one on your mind if you're the Indians. Obviously, with all the talk of Francisco Lindor, let's say Mercado works out, right? Having that extra year of control is worth having him in AAA for the next 2 months, the start of the season. It just is. And it's painful, and at times fans look at it and say, well, why not win now? But the control is worth it. But I think that there are things that they want him to work on as well and just show. And it's so hard to just base spring training success off of a batting average or home runner production just because you don't know who they're going up against night in, night out. You don't know what opposing pitchers are doing, if they're trying something out that they would never do in a big league game, et cetera. So I don't mind that they're starting him down, one, because of the control, and two, because he could continue to improve himself and continue to develop.
And as you just said, think about it right now. If Francisco Lindor had come up at the beginning of the season when he did get called up, rather than making sure you had that extra year of control, you'd have him this year and next, and it would have sped up everything. At this point, fans are thrilled about that.
Exactly. And that's – the Indians are good about thinking long-term, almost to the – to annoy fans to a degree. So, yeah, I completely agree. Keep him under control as long as you can, which is delay his promotion, so to speak, to the big leagues.
Speaking of other young guys, Jake Bowers, to me, you know, when the Indians picked him up, we all thought he was going to be here to start the season. Mm-hmm. Now, minor league start, is that what you think? Or what's going to happen with this kid when we start the season?
I still think he's going to be up here.
Okay.
It'll be interesting. Here's the thing. This spring, they've toyed with him a lot. They've put him in left field. They put him in the corners. And then they put him at first. And I wonder if the Carlos Gonzalez signing was kind of all right, we're going to get a corner outfielder. We're going to put Bowers at first where he's comfortable, and he can focus on playing the game. He's only 23. He's only played in the big leagues one season. Why not put him in the position that he admittedly is comfortable with at first base? He thinks he can be a really good defensive first baseman instead of outfield, where he's not as comfortable, where he's probably thinking a bit too much. He's excited to be out there, and admittedly, he just wants to be out there. He's not being a diva or anything like that. But to me, long term, it just makes sense to put him at first base. And you wonder if maybe they might try him at the corner to start the regular season. But ultimately, when Carlos Gonzalez, because I think that's going to work out. Once that happens, then you can move him to first base and permanently keep him there.
But if you put him at first base now, what's that mean for Carlos? You got to figure that means he's playing, he's a DH. Does that mean Hanley Ramirez is not part of this team?
I think that, it does. And I think that Carlos Gonzalez is just a better baseball player, and that's what it comes down to me, is you look at it in Cargo, while it might take him a couple of weeks, he was productive last year, 276, 16 home runs. I know it wasn't the all-star numbers that we've seen from him in past seasons, but I think he's got more left in the tank. I think he could contribute in a variety of ways. If you need to DH him, you can. Obviously, he's a former Gold Glove winner, so he can bring something in the outfield as well. He's a veteran. He's excited, extremely excited to be in Cleveland, thinks he can win here. And I think he's quite motivated, and he's the type of player that honestly, if they would have signed him 2 or 3 months ago, it would have felt like he was part of the answer in the outfield, at least temporarily. And now since it's so close to spring, we just kind of roll our eyes. But this isn't like a Hanley Ramirez signing. So I think bringing cargo aboard might spell the end for the Hanley Ramirez experiment, which I'm fine with because I think cargo is a better player at this stage of his career.
James Rapine joining us, our Indians beat reporter. It's opening day. Who's at shortstop? Who's in the outfield?
I think Francisco Lindor, and I said this a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to stick with it. I think Lindor is going to be ready, and it'll be interesting to see how they bring him along. He played in another minor league game yesterday, is kind of pushing, I think, the play. I think he's probably close to 100% now, but the Indians are doing everything they can to make sure things are okay, make sure that he's good to go, and they're not going to put him out there before he's 100%. So if not, I think Stamets is someone you look at and can hold down the fort for a week. I wouldn't expect him to hold it down for 2 or 3 months. I thought Flaherty was in that mix, but they moved on from him yesterday. And Terry Francona said it wasn't related to Lindor at all. Moroff is another guy to look at. So I think it would be one of those two. Moroff could play multiple infield spots, so maybe they keep him instead and just kind of use him and then move him around in the infield, especially with Kipnis. He's dealing. He had a calf strain yesterday, too. So I do think it's going to be Lindor at shortstop, but if not, more offers to Mets. And then outfield, I think it'll be Martin in center. I think it could be Bowers in left field. I wouldn't be shocked if they do try to get him some major league reps in the outfield. But, again, long-term, I think he ends up at first. And then Greg Allen. I think Greg Allen has shown plenty this spring. We know what he can do with the glove. He's going to play that right field spot, I think. So that's where I'm at with the outfield. And then long-term, you know, whether it's April 15th or April 18th or somewhere in that range, I think Carlos Gonzalez slides in and ends up being a pretty significant contributor for this Indians club.
James, thank you, sir.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
James Rapine, our Indians beat reporter, the spring training report brought to us by Kubota Golf Tech and Wow Internet. I think he's right. Might be a couple of weeks, and then Carlos Gonzalez is going to be out there, and they'll sort through everybody else. Still want Bradley Zimmer out there. If he can be healthy and he can be out there, he might have something.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.